And but how we do things here at Hope Community Church, as we said with Phyllis, when she teaches, this is something that the elders have said, yes, we want to see you be able to speak. God has given Tina a message today. She has been in His Word, and it's not just something she wants to give to moms today or just throw things out to you ladies, but it's things that she's wrestled with and that God has been teaching her. And so I want to bring Tina up. I want to pray for her, and then we're going to give her just the next few moments together. And I want to pray for us that we would be receptive to what God wants to teach us. So let's pray one more time together. God, we thank you again for your word. We thank you that it's true. We thank you that it's unchanging. And Lord, now as you have given Tina the words to speak, may she remember that she's the messenger, and that we would be receptive to everything that you have to tell us, that we would walk away from here changed and transformed by the power of your word. And all God's people said, amen.
So good morning to all of you. It's great to see you today. And I want to say happy Mother's Day to all you moms. So thanks for being here. The other day, I actually got to spend some time with my mom, which was really special. And each time, it just gets even more special the older I get, just the value that she has in my life. And I am very thankful to her for the life that she has given to me. So looking forward later today to spend some time with my own family. But my prayer for each of you today is, seriously, no matter where you are on this journey called life, that you will be able to hear from the Lord today. So Lord, I just come before you myself and just ask, Lord, that your presence would be known today, that there would be nothing more, nothing less. Lord, we know that there are so many different things that come up for so many of us in reference to Mother's Day, and there can be a lot of emotion. So I pray in the name of Jesus that you will meet us where we are at, that you will hold us, that you will let your presence be known. In Jesus' name, amen. So my question for you, who here likes road trips? Road trips? Awesome. Okay, through the years, I have definitely noticed there's two different types of travelers. One that likes to just get there and fast. The other one likes to enjoy the journey and likes to enjoy the ride. So thinking of Jeff and I, we both enjoy traveling. We absolutely love it. Okay, and maybe some of you can guess which one is which, okay? But I'm going to share a little bit. Earlier in our marriage, we used to travel a lot to see family and friends at various places, and it was always, let's get there fast, and I'm going to clock whatever my record time is, and he would just feel so excited that however fast he could get there. And then there's me, who I like to take all the good snacks. I like to stop at any opportunity I can. I like to have good photo ops. I like good music when I'm traveling to kind of chat and talk about anything and everything. So I really like to enjoy the ride. So I got to thinking about that. That if I like enjoying the ride, you know, in that way, going on road trips and stuff, am I enjoying this ride called life? And I got to thinking, no, really not all the time, I'm not. So what does that really look like? Okay, what does it really mean to enjoy? When you think about enjoying something, it means to take delight in, to find pleasure in. And that key word that kind of snuck right at the end of that, joy, to have joy. It's not based on the outward circumstances or the people or places that we're going, but it's an inner peace that we have. It's a joy that we have because we are okay being in the skin that we're in and the lives that we have. So that's the joy. So enjoying the ride, we can enjoy the ride when we really look at who we are going with. Who we are going with. God's word says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So the truth is that God is with us, even at those times that I talked about that I don't really enjoy the ride as much as I do at other times. But God is in it all. So I'm going to ask you, what do you enjoy? What do you enjoy about the life that you have? You know? I know for me, one of the things, like, I warned Emily I was going to share this, okay? But last year, I really asked her, and now you're old enough, you're 16, and I just absolutely love the end of her nose. She's got a freckle on the tip of her nose, just like I have, and I like to pinch it. So I said to her last year, I said, Emily, can you make a vow to me that no matter how old I get as your mom, and no matter how old you get, that I can always pinch that little tip of your nose? And she's like, okay, Mom. So I was very thankful, you know. But that really brought me, you know, I just found such pleasure in that, you know, the fact that, you know, she loved me enough that even if it was a silly little thing, she was still willing to do that at 16 and now 17. So I'll be planning to do it today, don't worry. but another thing I definitely find pleasure in is, like, on the busy mornings that I'm getting every, you know, trying to get out the door to work and trying to get everything all ready and stuff. When I walk into our bedroom and Jeff has made our bed, oh my goodness, I'm just like, okay, I feel like the house is kind of a little bit together and I can go off and go do what I got to do for the rest of the day. Okay, and I definitely enjoy new clothes. I just love a new outfit and I love pedicures. They're like my two girl things that I actually absolutely enjoy. So that's to think of just some things in your life. What do you enjoy about the life that you do have? And then the question comes that sometimes when we're not enjoying, you know, what does that look like? When we start to try and work out things on our own way, you know, maybe those things that we really enjoy are not happening and we don't feel as good. So where do we turn? What do? You know, that's the thing. We can sometimes end up forgetting that God is with us and that it is an internal thing. And it's kind of like an internal GPS that we get lost and off focus and we don't know really where we're going. We can end up empty. But the truth is that when we live with God, He is with us always. That is the truth. And it doesn't matter how the journey looks, it's who is with us. So today, as you may have seen in your FYI, we are going to be looking a little bit at Proverbs 31. And many of you might know that this is the Proverbs 31. Many ministries are built up about it. Many women throughout the years have quite honestly felt a little overwhelmed at this list of goodness that she might offer. Say, but the beauty in it, that this was a letter, a poem of sorts, that King Lemuel, his mother, wrote to him as wisdom about life, and about what a noble wife looked like through what she had gathered through the years. So there is theory that she was an older woman, so it was something that she had lived throughout her years and things that she had witnessed. So to think about that, okay, we look at that, and even though she might seem a bit overwhelming, the truth is that she was a very industrious woman, that she had a lot of skills and a lot of talents that she used to help her family, help her communities. And she just lived her life, and ultimately she had a fear of the Lord. So I challenge you over the next week, you know, to take a time. We just got these books about 31 days in with 31 days of prayers and thoughts. Well, I challenge you even just within this next week, all of us, to take a time and look at Proverbs 31 and see what God might reveal to you through the passage. But for today, we're only going to look at two passages in specific. And those passages you can find, and I would love if you have your Bible to go ahead and turn there. I know it might be up on the screen, but if you can turn there with us. It's Proverbs 31, 30 and 31. It says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. So as Jeff has mentioned earlier, as I was coming up, he and I are both going to be taking you on a little bit of a drive today. So he's got a little bit he's going to be sharing in a few moments, more specific for you guys. And we're going to take a time to kind of try and break down these verses and talk about some road essentials, as well as hopefully challenge and encourage you to live the life that God has given you. So when we look at charm and beauty, what did it say the charm was? What did it say the beauty was? Okay. Those two things. One is misleading. The other is going away. Okay. So when you look at that, okay, those two things are about the appearance, about the thing that we put out when we are in our communities, when we're in our homes, it's the things that others see about us. And sometimes that can be very deceptive. Okay. And sometimes that can be very misleading. But the reality is that this is what God was talking about, that there was nothing wrong with having that charm. There was nothing wrong with being, trying to be beautiful, wear nice things, to look good, to give a good presentation, whether male or female, to give a good impression. It's not saying that that's wrong, but it's saying that that was not the most important thing. The most important thing was the second half of the verse, which we'll get to. Okay, so I have to say that for me, as a young girl, most of my life, I have wrestled with a lot of insecurities. I felt unloved and unwanted, and I have a fear of abandonment that the Lord has been working with me on. And at the age of 13, I actually made a crucial decision, and I specifically remember getting off my bus in eighth grade, and I got off that last step, and I said, no more, enough. I'm not going to be this Tina again, because she hurt too bad. See, at that time in my life, I didn't know who my dad was. My mom had gone through two divorces. My grandfather, who was like a father to me, had passed away, and I just felt lost. I just felt really lost. I felt like I didn't have any grounding, any securities, and then also already wrestling with insecurity. And then on top of it, I was bullied all through kindergarten through eighth grade, and I just finally said, enough. I can't do this anymore. So I decided that day, all right, that's it, enough. I'm gonna change what I can change. So I went home and I began to diet, so I lost weight. I went and got a job, so I was able to go and get my hair done. I got a new wardrobe. I started trying, just do anything I could on the outside to just try and feel better. And I entered into my high school year, freshman year. I walked in the front doors, and yes, I went in as a new, improved Tina, okay? And yes, I did get a lot of attention. People were shocked that, wow, you look so different. Oh, my goodness, And that just built me up, and it caused me to feel better, okay? And then what ended up happening is because of a lot of that attention, I ended up on a journey called the journey to try and find love and acceptance. And I ended up on that journey for the next 6 years of my life. And I'm not going to say that that journey ended so well. I'm not going to say that I don't have a lot of regrets from that time that the Lord has been gracious to redeem in my life, okay? But that was the journey that I was on. And I sure knew how to cover it up. I sure knew how to smile and put on the charm and, do all of those things and try and look beautiful. But on the inside, I had a lot of pain. So the thing that the Lord has really taught me through the years has been, your beauty should not come from outward adornment. Not what people are seeing, such as the elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of an inner self, the unfading beauty of a quiet and gentle spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. So that speaks of the inner beauty, what was going on the inside, the confidence that comes from being okay in your own skin. So my encouragement for all of us is, let's remember that God is always looking at our hearts. He knows. He knew that pain that I was going through at that season of my life. Even if I didn't want anybody else and I didn't want to face it myself, he knew. He saw that deeper. So that's where it lies. The next part of the verse looks at, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So as I researched this passage, this statement for a little bit, I found that all throughout the Old and New Testament, we hear and we see and we've heard it in church and we read it everywhere about fearing the Lord, okay? So fear of the Lord. But the thing that I learned that there was two different types of fear that were happening. And that was a fear that the people were such ninnies that they were just doing and getting away and trying to do whatever they wanted to do. And then they became afraid because they didn't want to get caught in what they were doing wrong. So then that fear of God, because they knew that God had said to live right and do this, but then they chose not to, so then they began to get afraid of that. So as we know, when we were kids, we would try and do stuff and get away with stuff, and then we'd be afraid that mom or dad might see us, or grandmom or grandpa or aunt or uncle, whoever it might been, might see us and we get caught, I actually remember in fourth grade, I got involved with some friends and I did this thing called a slam book. And I remember I got caught, and I sat in the principal's office in fourth grade, and I just bawled. And you know what I thought about? Was that my grandparents were going to find out what I had done, and I ended up in the principal's office. So I was so afraid for them to find out, because I knew I did wrong. But that's not the fear that it's talking about here. A woman who praises the Lord, a woman who fears the Lord and is to be praised, is not talking about that she's so afraid of, oh my goodness, you know. No, it is that she has an all that we, as you guys as men too, we have an all and a respect for God. And it's a response of faith to God. But it's also having a submissive heart towards him. So when we fear the Lord, it begins the journey. And as I saw, like I said, the different points of fear the Lord, majority of fear the Lord actually is in the Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. So the book of Proverbs starts out with verse 1, verse 7, and it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So the fearing of the Lord is where our journey can begin. And when I think of that type of fear of the Lord, I think of my Nana sharing with me how much she loved her dad and how much she knew that she was his little girl and he was her daddy. And how she adored him. And how she knew in her heart that he adored her. That gave her such a desire. I remember her telling me when I was going through all those crazy years in my teens, that she would say, Tina, with my daddy, she said, I didn't want to let him down because I knew how much I was valued by him and I knew how much he loved me and I loved him, so I didn't want to let him down. So when I think of fear of the Lord now, I think of my Nan and that relationship that she got blessed with her father. And that is an incredible gift. So it is an internal happening that goes on here. It's something that happens within us that ends up coming outside. And that's what other people see. It's not the other way around. It's not the things that happen on the outside and then go into us, but it's what's already in that we're going to be expressing to the world that we live in. So when we fear the Lord, we begin to live the ways that he shows us. We begin to attempt to have a life of no regrets. We might not do it perfect all the time. I sure don't do it perfect all the time. I still stumble up on some of the stuff that I stumbled up back in my teen years. But I know who's with me now, and I know what to turn away from in order to say, no, I'm not going this way. I'm going to go this way because this is the way, Lord, that you are leading. So it comes down to a choice. And that means we end up beginning to respect ourselves. We respect our spouses. We respect our children. And we respect our friends and the people that we're journeying this life with. So how do we respect them? How do we have an all in respect for the Lord? We have to get to know him. We have to get to know him and offer him authority in our lives. Psalm 46:10 reads, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. What comes to mind when you hear that word, be still? Anything? I think peace, okay, peace. I used to think of sometimes just some peace and quiet, just to sit down and chill, be still. And that's what I thought that this verse meant. But it actually had a different twist to it. The original word for be still is a word called rapha. And that word rapha meant to surrender and let go. Surrender and let go. So that goes beyond just sitting down and trying to have some peace and quiet, trying to read our Bibles, trying to say a prayer, trying to, you know, just get in the zone, or I've heard a lot of people say the Zen moments, whatever, but that is not what it's talking about. It's a whole different type of thing. And so when we surrender to the complete truth that the Lord is in control of this life and this world and everything in it, okay, we will find that peace, and he will deliver us from our temporary fears. And some of those things that we might need to surrender are things of our past, things that we maybe wish we had and didn't, things that, you know, we're worried about the future, you know, we're thinking about the relationships that we have in our lives. You know, all of these things are temporary things that God will use for beauty and will use for eternal, but it's going to be up to us whether or not we want to surrender and let those things go. And when I say let go, I don't mean give up. And I'm not talking surrender, give up. I don't believe that that's what God was talking about either. It was a form of surrender and letting go, the fact that I'm going to hand this over to you, and God coming back to say to us, and I'm going to journey with you through it. Okay? It's not like, okay, you're done and gone. No, it's we're going to journey together through this. So when I think of those things, that we're going to journey together through this, I recall the night after Emily was born, and I remember just lying there so exhausted from such a big day and 9 months of growing this little person. And I thought to myself, she's here. And I remember just laying there and just rubbing my stomach and thinking, the sadness was just coming over me. And not in a bad way, but it was a sadness of realizing that I was beginning to have to let her go. Because somehow, and when she was in the womb, I felt like I could control and protect and kind of take care of my body and take care. And so I was vicariously taking care of her too. But then once she got here, I was like, wow, she's going to have to journey and experience this life. And wow, there was a sadness that came over me. And so now when I look at her, and I look at I call her my fave 17-year-old. So there's been a lot of ups and downs. I'm not going to lie. It's not always peaceful between us. But it is always good. And so at those times that I start to feel like, I don't know what ends up. I feel like, the saying, I'm darned if I do, darned if I don't, as a mom. And I start to lose a little bit of hope. And then I have to just surrender. And when I choose that surrender, and knowing that I can only do and I can only be the mom as God allows me to be, I'm so surprised by the things that Emily will do, Emily will say, the things that I just see of her character, her coming out, and her becoming the woman that God created her to be. And that is such an honor to me to think that, wow, I had a part in that. Even as scary as it was in the beginning and all the worries and fears that I had and all the worries and fears and concerns I have even for the future, it's been an honor. So looking back at that then, so our journey today began with enjoying the ride because we know who is with us. And we said it's better to fear the Lord than to hold on to the temporary. So what does that mean for us? Got a couple of road essentials here that we're going to look at of how we can enjoy the ride with Christ. Our first one is going to be we can love like Christ loved. And why do we love like Christ loved? We can find a simple passage in 1 John 4:19 that reads, "We love because he first loved us." And as I've spoken of my grandmother throughout this morning, I had the privilege of her being such a huge part of my upbringing. And she was a very godly woman and showed her love of Jesus to the world that she lived in, to the home that we lived in. And as a young girl, I got to see that. And she shared with me how much Jesus loved me. I remember, I still have, if any of you have ever been in Bible study with me, I have tons of like bookmarks and little statements and stuff. And a lot of those actually are from her through the years, just being an example to me of just little things, of just showing me and investing in me and just how much that Jesus loved me. And then I got to see that example in such a way and in so many different ways that was a good example for me that I wanted to follow that. That I wanted to follow that. So yes, Jeff and Emily might at times be like, good grief, woman. Good grief, mom. You're like killing us here. You're loving us so much. Good grief. But they know ultimately it's because of the heart that I have and because I know what God has blessed me with. And I just want to share that with those who are closest to me and the world that I live in. So how can we show this love that Christ has shown us? We can show compassion and kindness by accepting the different ways at different times that our spouses are going to be. Maybe we don't get along and we don't agree and we don't see eye to eye and we are like get frustrated at times that they just have such a different personality than I do. But we can still love and have compassion and show kindness and respect one another in the ways that we're going to interact. We can do the same thing with our children as well. Get to know them. You know, I remember as a young mom, I got encouraged to really look at the qualities and the gifts that you see that are in your children and pray for God to draw them out and pray for him to show you how you can be a part of journeying with them and draw those things out as well. So finally, looking at as well, there's Lisa Turquist. This is just a little statement that has stuck with me. That she is an author and speaker. She's written Unglued and Made to Crave and many other different things. And she has made a statement that share whispers with God before shouts with the world. So that has been, that is another way that we can put that into practice. That, okay, if we're going to say that we want to love like Christ loved, we got to believe that that love is true for us. Okay, and then taking that time to sit at his feet, to get to know him, share those whispers with him, and then put it out into the world. Our second point here, our second road essential here, is to live like Christ lived. And so if we love like Jesus loved, then we live like him. His focus was always eternal, and it was internal as well, but the internal always worked out to be eternal. So that's the thing here, you know, we look at, that he looked to the Father, and he surrendered to him consistently, even if he didn't feel like it at times, even if he didn't feel good. I mean, we see the picture of him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He still surrendered, and he gave over his very life for us, for us. So how can we apply that to our lives and our everyday life? We can think of others first. We can try and make the efforts to put others above the needs that we have. And we can also keep in mind the eternal value of things, you know, teaching our children how to pray, how to love one another, how to be kind and respectful to each other. We can definitely see those things. Those are valuable things. You know, it's not going to be about the best meal that you made or about the best, you know, clothing that you wore or anything like that, but it's going to be about what lives on eternally. And helps you continue to move forward. So, the additional in your midst of your all your business. Okay, we all got stuff going on. We all got things that we need to get done. But what would it actually look like if you stopped and just listened? Stopped and just listened to what God might be showing you, or revealing to you, or how he wants you to live in a way. So, we've spent a little bit of time here hearing from my perspective as a woman, and I'm going to pass it on to Jeff, and we'll be back in a few moments.
All right, I'm just going to take a few moments for us guys. We started out by saying that we enjoy the ride because of who's going with us. And Nathan, if you could pop up some of those images, I wanted to share some of our road trip pictures. So, this was in Wawa, Ontario. And then the next one, this is us on the road on the way to Savannah, Georgia. There's me, not really riding a bike, but it looks awesome. And there's my girls, especially when they were young. Well, Emily was younger. And so I think, yeah, there's some more. That's when we visited my parents last year down in Georgia. And there's Tina's bestie. And there's our little girl going off to see Grandma and Grandpa many, many years ago. And so I wanted to share with you guys just a couple of things, and I'm going to give it back to Tina so she can challenge and encourage us. But I wanted for us to look at verse 31 here, Proverbs chapter 31. It says this, it says, honor her for all her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. What we see here as this chapter closes out is that we need to understand that a godly woman is one who is praised, one who is valued by others. It's not just for the husband to realize this, it's for those who are around her. If, as Tina challenged you to read all of chapter 31, you're going to see towards the second half of Proverbs 31, it was the wife of noble character. It was someone to, once again, be honored and praised and value. It says that this woman that it's speaking of, she deserves honor. And that you and I, even us guys, can look at this as an example and how to strive to be someone who is godly. So here's what I want to share with you for us guys today is two things. One, we want to give honor and we want to show respect. When it comes to women, we want to give honor and show respect. And I want to speak directly to you husbands right now. When we talk about giving honor, it says in 1 Peter, in the first half of verse chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, in the same way you husbands must give honor to your wives. This isn't a suggestion. This is saying this is what you are to do as a husband. And then it says, treat your wife with understanding as long as you live. There may be, you're thinking, there's sometimes I have no clue what she's saying. But it's saying that we respect one another in our marriages. And husbands, it's saying that we honor her. It says in Scripture, it says that we as husbands are to love Christ like, we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. If you look at the New Testament, you'll see that Christ gave his life up for the church. And that is our call. That is our charge as husbands, is to be ones that give sacrificially to our wives. We give honor by doing this when we aren't selfish. We do it also when we praise her in public. It's okay to praise your wives in public. It's not good to punish them or demean them in public. But it's also, we honor them when we're patient with them. You know, my side of journeying with Tina, it's been a long road, and there's times where she's like, I'm sorry that I keep coming to you with this. And I've learned I got to be patient with her, to listen more, and to affirm that what she's going through, I'm going through with her. And also, husbands, love your wife in front of your kids the way that you need to, because then they're going to get a picture of what that looks like. This is how daddy loves mommy. And that's how I want to be treated by a man, or that's how I want to be treated by a woman. And that's what we want to do, husbands. We want to give our wives honor. And so the second is, with speaking of showing respect, I want to speak to all of us guys in general. This includes husbands as well. But when I talk about what do I mean by this, here's what I want to say, is that women are not objects to be obtained. And I want to say our culture has given us pictures of what women are supposed to be, how they're supposed to act, how they're supposed to look, whether it's on television, in songs, on the internet, whatever that may be. That is not what women are supposed to be treated like. We are supposed to show them respect. And when we show respect to women, what we're doing is we're regarding them in high esteem. I used to take my daughter, and we go periodically now, but when she was younger, we would have daddy-daughter night. And I would take her out, and I would show her what it was like to be treated on a date. You know, 6 and 7 years old. And so we'd get done, and I'd say, what did daddy do for you? You opened the door for me, dad. You paid for the meal, and you did it. What else did daddy do? You didn't lay a hand on me. That's how it's supposed to go. She didn't say it that way, guys. But the point is that we want to show women respect. And when we show them respect, here's the cool thing. What I learned in my own life is, my mom used to tell me this, and it drove me nuts. She said, the way that you treat me is probably the way you'll treat women. I didn't treat my mom very well at times. I was disrespectful, and yeah, mom, you're doing your thing, right. But you know what? I realized that even as I got older, I was like, women aren't going to tell me what to do. And I brought that into my marriage. And it was like, yeah, Tina, whatever, and so on and so on. But it really took Tina being a godly woman and saying, I'm going to honor God. I'm going to love my husband. I'm going to put up with his nonsense. But I'm just going to keep doing what, God, you want me to do. And it took really about 5 years, literally 5 years, for me, for the light bulb to go on. But what I did through that is I learned to give honor and show respect. That's how women are to be treated, gentlemen. And so if you have a different view of how women are to be treated, then go to God's word and see what he says about how you're to treat the beautiful creatures that he has created. The Bible says this. I want to challenge us to man up here. Jesus was speaking to the religious leaders, and he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but not do what I say? So if you're going to be a guy that says, I'm going to honor my wife and I'm going to show respect, but yet at every turn you don't, it's empty words. So let's do that. Husbands, treat your wives like the treasure that she is. And guys, let's treat women as they deserve to be treated. So I want to give this back over to Tina, and she's going to close out with a challenge and encouragement for us as we close today.
So going back to where we started, those road trips. Through the years, Jeff and I have definitely learned from one another that when it comes to the road trip called life, that he likes to now enjoy the travel, to enjoy the journey, to enjoy the ride. and not just get there fast. And I've definitely learned now to see how there is a time for everything. That it cannot be all hills and beautiful scenery, but there has to be valleys and bends in the road and flat tires and potholes that we run into. But it all makes the ride worthwhile. It all makes the ride worthwhile because we know who is with us in the midst of all of those places. So my question for you today is, when it comes to following Jesus, are you going to get there and fast? Or do you want to just enjoy the ride because you know that he's with you? So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and uphold you with my righteous right hand. So as we follow Christ, let's remember, things of this world are temporary. The fear of the Lord is much more valuable than anything else. And we can enjoy the ride by living confident that he is with us. So let's pray. Awesome Heavenly Father, we thank you that we've been able to gather here today. We thank you that we can celebrate you and celebrate moms and celebrate life. You are an awesome God, and I pray that, dear Lord, you will take these words that have been spoken here today and bring life into all of us. I thank you for the journey that you have taken us on, and I pray that you will help us to have courage and faith and to rely upon you as we journey forward. In Jesus' name. Amen.